Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on Sports Grid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, I might not bet that for more. You know what I mean? Like,
and Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA/Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Oh, right here. It is a Tuesday afternoon. No better place to be than right here on the Sports Grid Network, listening to Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside here. Solo mission today. Got you over the next hour. A lot of topics going around. And yes, we will get into last night's Philadelphia Eagles-Seattle Seahawks game, what that means for the NFC, and what that means for the rest of the league. Because my goodness, if you love parity, which the NFL has sold to us for decades now as the way to operate, you are getting it in spades this season. It seems like just about every single team outside of the New England Patriots and the Carolina Panthers are vying for a playoff spot. Now, granted, some other teams did get, you know, annihilated this weekend and knocked out of the playoff race, but there are other ones that are now stepping back up who we thought we were dead and possibly for Super Bowl runs. But let's get to the point here, right? Hot topics right off the bat. Say it ain't so, Tommy Cutlets here. So as I read on the front page of ESPN, Pizzeria cancels Tommy DeVito event over quarterback's appearance fee. How about this? Now here's how it's playing out. Because as you know, when you have the chance to strike, when the iron is hot, when you can say, you know what? Let me hold up this metal baseball bat and I am bound to get some electricity during this storm. That's Tommy DeVito. North Jersey's finest, Tommy Cutlets, riding the wave for the New York Giants with a couple victories. Then they got splashed this weekend by the New Orleans Saints down in New Orleans. And yes, I'm mad at Tommy DeVito because he couldn't throw the football one more time at least to Wandale Robinson to help me get over a over 31.5-yard prop. But that's neither here nor there. Get this. Looks like Caniglio's Old Fashioned Pizzeria announced on social media that it would no longer be hosting DeVito on Tuesday after the restaurant, quote, received word from his agent that his appearance fee would be doubling, unquote, from $10,000 to $20,000. And it says here, according to an Instagram post by Caniglio's, agent Sean Stellato raised the appearance fee after DeVito led the Giants to a comeback victory over the Packers on Monday Night Football. The Morristown, New Jersey-based restaurant posted the cancellation Sunday after DeVito struggled in the Giants' 24-6 victory, or loss, I should say. Saints win 24-6. So tough scene out there. How about that? And it says here, just to, you know, sort of put a bow on this, Nino Caniglio, the pizzeria's owner, responded to Darren Revelle, quote, we agreed in principle to terms, 2 hours, 250 autographs, and $10,000. And then the agent couldn't be reached. He reached back out after Monday's game to tell us the price was now $20,000. Well, that's a lot of money, and kudos to whatever pizza restaurant this is, too. If anybody's ever owned the family business or run it, I understand times are good, but my goodness, dropping 10 grand on a promotion here to try to sell some pizza, that's pretty incredible. But also, as I told you, striking while the iron is hot. And Tommy DeVito, it's funny, too, because he had the three games here. He's becoming a legend. And, you know, I mean, the Giants aren't going anywhere this year. They're going to get hammered by the Philadelphia Eagles coming up, and away they go off in the postseason. But Tommy DeVito's shown he might be able to be a serviceable backup quarterback and make himself some money in this league. But I do love the fact that it's like, you know what? The price at a brick is going up. $10,000 to $20,000 from a single pizzeria in northern New Jersey. Pretty impressive. We'll see where Tommy DeVito goes. He can surprise everybody with a Christmas Day victory over the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. Now, that's the perfect segue over, because we're going to start the clock right now on getting down for some hot NFL talk. And that includes the Philadelphia Eagles last night embarrassing themselves once again in a football game where you were taking on, and yes, I understand the Seattle Seahawks. It was a must-win football game for them. Not necessarily a must-win for the Eagles, as we explained to you yesterday, or at least any show I was on the Sports Grid Network, that the Philadelphia Eagles, if they lost the game to Seattle, it still didn't matter. They would have to win three easy layup games to end the season to be the number two overall seed due to tiebreakers. I didn't think there was really any chance that the San Francisco 49ers were going to get beat the rest of the way, which includes a Christmas Day bonanza that is going to show the Philadelphia Eagles along with the San Francisco 49ers. Now, that would have been a little bit more fun to watch, rooting on the Ravens. Now, I am rooting on the Ravens with other interest. Really need them to be the number one seed. If they can get to the Super Bowl, I'm going to make a really good profit on my initial wager of an 18-1 Super Bowl ticket on the Baltimore Ravens. We'll see if that does happen. But last night in Seattle, 20-17, Seattle Seahawks over the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I'm a big Eagles fan. You guys know that here. But you hear my voice. I'm not upset by it at all. Local radio here in Philadelphia blowing up. And maybe rightfully so. You're not supposed to lose a football game to Drew Lock, but hear me out on this. Jalen Hurts, just a poor performance last night. I understand he had 13 carries for 82 yards and two touchdowns. I understand that the Philadelphia Eagles ran 38 times for an average of 4.7 yards per rush. He should have won the football game. The Eagles' defense, for all intents and purposes, outside of a couple Kenneth Walker runs, because you're going to give up runs on the ground if you're playing the pass. They played very good on defense for 58 minutes. And the final minute and a half to 45, they were embarrassing out there. First down play, you saw that ball tipped up in the air, could have had an interception, falls to the ground. DK Metcalf with a ridiculous one-handed catch where Bradbury should have had an interception. Another DK Metcalf ridiculous catch down the sideline. And then another Jaxon Smith-Njigba ridiculous catch in the end zone to secure the victory. Wild the way it played out. And the Philadelphia Eagles, from my vantage point, they'll be the number two seed. But when we're talking about higher purposes in the NFL this year and winning a Super Bowl and getting back to it, there's no good vibes in Philadelphia. That's not going to happen. Is there time to get it together? Sure. You have three layups. The Eagles are going to go into the playoffs, quote unquote, as a hot football team with three wins over three bad football teams. They'll be home in their first two games. They'll probably win both of those. But then you got to go out to San Francisco and face the music. A better football team running on full cylinders, on all cylinders, and at home there. But Jalen Hurts is 17 of 31, 143 flu game. Really caught up to him in the fourth quarter. I'm not saying he ran out of gas, but a ridiculous interception on a throw down the middle deep to Quez Watkins, who hasn't made a play in like 5 years in Philadelphia. Brutal all the way through. You can't make that play. It's first down. Chew the clock, continue running the football, get into field goal range. All right. Point number two late in the game. Around 4 minutes to go, Pete Carroll already called two timeouts like an idiot during that game, or should I say, in the second half. What the heck? October, November, Philadelphia Eagles runs that clock out and the game's over. They end up punting inside the 10-yard line to Drew Lock with under 2 minutes and only one timeout and needing a touchdown. We're going to talk about this more after the break and what that means to the rest of the NFL. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, right back at it here, talking Seattle Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles. And come on now, you guys know I'm an Eagles fan. Sometimes you got to be optimistic, sometimes you got to be pessimistic, and maybe you can do both at the same time. The reason is the Eagles did not play a good football game. Also, their quarterback was under the weather. There really are no excuses for that. Why? Because Drew Lock was under center for the Seattle Seahawks, right? Isn't that the end-all, be-all that we talk about? You had a bad quarterback under center. Now, you take a look here at Drew Lock throughout that football game. It was a nice interview at the end. Guys believed in me. Didn't think it was going to be possible. I didn't think anybody was going to help. And, you know, here I am. Yeah, it's all fine and good. It's professional sports, man. It wasn't that big of a victory for you, Drew Lock, or what you've overcome, whatever, in your life at that point. But if we're looking at that football game itself, Drew Lock was horrendous for the first 58 minutes of that 60-minute tussle. 116 yards passing before that final drive. Then he made some plays, so I'm going to give him credit. But the Philadelphia Eagles defense was very good for 58 minutes and fell through. And necessarily you could say, oh, Matt Patricia, what are you doing? You're leaving Bradford one-on-one. I understand that. That wasn't a great look here from Matt Patricia, no question about it. But he had a perfect defensive play call on the DK Metcalf play down the right sideline. Sidney Brown, the young safety, just didn't get over in time. It should have been an interception. He arrived late and didn't even make a great play on the football as is. You can't do that. Sometimes these games come down to very small crevices. You either put up or you shut up in those moments. And the Eagles shut up. And also, we talked about the Jalen Hurts play to throw an interception earlier, I believe, in the fourth quarter. And I was like, all right, what kind of decision is that? I know you're trying to be aggressive, but you want to be aggressive to Devonta Smith. You want to be aggressive to A.J. Brown, right? Not the case. Quez Watkins, you wanted to be aggressive with, who didn't even make a play on the football. Now, was he grabbed by his jersey? Should have been a penalty? Maybe so, but I wasn't calling that because I was so upset with the route that was run and the pass and the execution behind it. Now, let's go to the final drive of the game. Not to me, it was apparent also. Jackson Smith and Jigba's catch and touchdown was phenomenal. That was a de facto the end of the football game. But he still had 28 seconds on the clock and three timeouts to try to counter that. Is it a miracle? Not quite there, but you need to make some really good plays and really shrewd decisions in order to get into field goal range to tie it up and maybe go to overtime and see what you can do. The first play by Jalen Hurts was fantastic. It was a run up the middle that got them somewhere around midfield, that 45-ish, you know, yard line on their own side of the field. But the one that really was angering was the final play, which was the interception. You didn't need that. You weren't scoring a touchdown. Yes, if you would have completed that ball, somehow miraculously, you would have been in field goal range. Again, the key word here, field goal range. You didn't need to throw it up in the double coverage. Jalen Hurts went from an MVP candidate, and quite frankly, after that Buffalo Bills game where he ran the quarterback's draw into the end zone for an overtime victory, that was sensational. He was the favorite in the clubhouse to be the MVP of football this late in the season. Doesn't play well against San Francisco. San Francisco crushes the Eagles. Doesn't play well, neither did the team, per se, against the Dallas Cowboys. But this was a chance for a bounce-back performance just to go in and get a victory here and play clean football. I understand I told you. The Seattle Seahawks really needed that football game, but I still thought the Eagles would win. I also thought the game would go over the total. But it was pretty apparent, even early in the game with the Eagles with a 10-0 lead, they were happy with running the football and saying, we don't need an aerial attack in this game. Let's just sit back, let's be confident, let's make the plays, and let's win a football game. And they weren't able to do it, even having that double-digit lead. And leading for just about every minute of that game. They were never down, it was only tied. The tush-push was working, Jalen Hurts scored two touchdowns. But you gave it away on defense, a quality effort that you gave away. Now, let's peel back the layers on what this means to the rest of the football season. And not just to the Philadelphia Eagles. What this actually does to the landscape of the NFC, which is really interesting at this point. when you bring up the standings, right? Forget about the divisional standings, Eagles, Cowboys. I already told you multiple times. The Eagles run the table. The Dallas Cowboys run the table. The Eagles are going to be the number two seed. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are going to run the table anyway from here on out, but that's not necessarily the point. Let's play this forward in the playoffs now. If you're looking from a San Francisco 49ers perspective, far and away, they're the best football team, and now they're not tied with anybody. The Eagles would have won yesterday. The Eagles would have had 11 wins as well, and you could have said, like, okay, it's going to be a battle down the stretch, and if the 49ers trip up against a very good Ravens team at home, maybe the Eagles can steal home field advantage. But that's no longer the case at this point, and that's what I want to talk about. Because if you're looking at the 49ers here, they have the tiebreaker over the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. Why? Because they smashed them both. So let's say the 49ers continue on this path here, right? And they also have a better conference record than the Detroit Lions. So let's just say they wind up in the tie with the Lions. There's no head-to-head play there. You just go straight to conference play. 9-1 overall. So they have the tiebreaker just about over everybody. They're going to be in. And the reason I bring this up is, if the 49ers beat the Ravens and go to 12-3, and then the 49ers, let's just say, win their following football game, which, again, let me just do a quick double check who we have here for the 49ers. Oh, yeah, the Commanders. Oh, it's on the road, though. It's hard to win in the NFL, you say. Yeah, it's not going to be hard to win that game against the Washington Commanders in that spot. So let's just keep it with the 49ers, which means they clinched home field advantage, the number one seed throughout the NFC playoffs before we even get to Week 18. Do you know who they play Week 18? The Los Angeles Rams. Don't look now. Charging up the board, playing good football. If we look at the Rams and how their season has gone here, right? With their most recent victory, 28-20 over the Commanders. Before that, beating the Seahawks, beating the Cardinals, beating the Browns, losing a heartbreaker to the Ravens, 37-31 in overtime, then bouncing back with a decent performance again. The Commanders got a cover also, 28-20. The Rams play the Saints this weekend. You know me, I'm rooting for the Saints, got a ticket for the Saints. I don't think the Saints win that football game. I think the Rams win that. That makes them 8-7. Rams go play the New York Giants. They're going to beat the Giants, even though it's a road game. That makes them 9-7. Final game of the season, they play the 49ers. Could be an all-in game, which you will need to get into the playoffs. 49ers might be resting their players. But Tony, the 49ers already have a bye. They'll probably play. Let's just say they play some of their guys. Christian McCaffrey's not playing in that football game. Brock Purdy, if he plays, what's he going to go for? Two or three snaps, maybe? You know, let's just say two or three drives or even two quarters. Backup's going to be in the football game here. Nick Bosa's not playing in that game. Hargrave's not playing in that game. Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, they're not playing in that game. Be stupid, too. You might be looking at the Rams getting a free bye that last week of the season, which could put them into the playoffs, which again, let's keep going back to this NFC playoff picture and why it's so tricky. Look at the Dallas Cowboys. Technically today, they own the tiebreaker, or the tie as it stands now. But when the season ends, the Philadelphia Eagles looks like they're going to overtake them in strength of schedule, which is the final tiebreaker if everybody's tied up. But hear me out on this. And I said it this morning, and Ben was like, oh, that's an interesting way to look at it. Because I'm coming from an angle of the game last night actually hurt the Dallas Cowboys. Because I don't think the Cowboys are going to run the table. And I think the Philadelphia Eagles quite possibly should be able to do that. But let's just say they both do it here. The Dallas Cowboys, if there was no way, which means let's just, you know, trying to just do fancy math again here. If the Dallas Cowboys, let's just say, run it along with the Philadelphia Eagles, you're going to play that last game of the season right up to it. If the Eagles win, yeah, the Eagles get the two seed but not a bye, and they'll enter into the playoffs. But the Dallas Cowboys would still have to play Week 18. But also keep in mind, like if the Philadelphia Eagles have that game up and you're saying, okay, the Dallas Cowboys then can't get that number two seed, they can rest in Week 18, how big of an advantage is that for the Dallas Cowboys? Think about that. How big of an advantage is for the Dallas Cowboys to be like, you know what? We cannot catch the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's stay in the five seed. Let's take a full bye in Week 18 and rest up for the playoffs. Dallas is going to be forced to play Week 18 because with the hopes that the Giants are going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles to end the season. Ay, ay, ay. So many ramifications around the NFL. Let's keep it going on a Tuesday. Radio Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tuesday afternoon, right here on the right side. Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Solo mission here. Kevin Walsh will be back on Thursday, so I got you for 2 days here alone as we get you through hump day in the middle of the week. But hot topics all the way around, and certainly talking about the NFL and that playoff picture in both conferences. If we look at, you know, parity, and like we say, the NFL really wants to buy into that, they're doing a great job of it because parity is exactly what you're getting. 3 weeks to go, only three teams in the AFC that have been knocked out of playoff contention. How about this? Tennessee Titans, New York Jets, New England Patriots. Everybody else still technically in it. Now, you could say, I guess, not eliminated yet, the Los Angeles Chargers. They'll be eliminated this weekend with swiftness by the Buffalo Bills. And those numbers will increase until we get a numerous amount of teams that will be knocked out of the playoffs, which includes seeds 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way through. Which leaves us up to some of those teams I do want to talk about here. Who can actually make a run, and who's not going to be able to make a run? Let's start here with the NFC first, because three teams in the NFC have been eliminated from playoff competition. The 2-12 Carolina Panthers, the 3-11 Arizona Cardinals, and the 4-10 Washington Commanders. Everybody else still alive, which includes 2-5-9 teams, the New York Giants, and the Chicago Bears. Let's take those two out of the equation. Now it starts to get a little bit serious here. Seven teams, as we know, make the playoffs. If the season ended today, these teams would miss the playoffs. The Seattle Seahawks, the New Orleans Saints, the Atlanta Falcons, the Green Bay Packers, of those teams 6-8 or better. Taking a look at this weekend's action, everybody's going to be in play. There are no bye weeks. We have Thursday night football action. We have a doubleheader on Saturday. Then Christmas Eve, which is Sunday, a full slate. And then three games on Christmas Day, which is great. So we'll be able to get a good vibe on all of those games from Saturday, Sunday to Monday on who's going to be moving up the board and who's going to be moving down that board. Now, when we take a look at some of the equations coming into this weekend, it's still so convoluted out here. Like, it really is. It's wild to have so many teams with so many games and so many tiebreakers to worry about, because the 6th seed is 7-7. The 7th seed in the NFC is 7-7. The 8th seed is 7-7. The 9th seed is 7-7. And the Atlanta Falcons trying to fight for that NFC South at 6-8, still viable here. And the Green Bay Packers a little bit more on the outside looking in. It is just crazy town here in the NFC, how it's lined up, and also in the AFC, which we're going to get to in just a few moments. Let's hit the phone lines here, 844-843-6879, Sports Grid Network this afternoon. Flash from Houston, up on the docket. Flash, what's up?
Well, great. You're actually talking about the topic I needed to hear about. So basically, there's a lot of people out here with division winners, you know, futures from August or whatever. Well, I've got a five-team division winner parlay. San Francisco in the barn. Kansas City, I'm not worried about. My problem children are Philly, Jacksonville, and New Orleans. What is your take on those three divisions?
I'm telling you right now, like,
do you see a hedge? No. Do you see a hedge that I can make to, it's 9-1. Okay.
Yeah.
Take it from there.
I would probably say, Flash, at this point, I wouldn't hedge out, but I'm glad you brought this topic up because I have multiple parlays with division winners that I also placed earlier in the season. Some of those like $50 to win around, you know, $1,200 or $1,300. It was shots in the dark, but educated guesses overall. But I'm in the same boat with you here, which is great. Like, I have the Eagles to win the NFC East, and I'm worried about the Dallas Cowboys. I have the Buffalo Bills actually in the AFC East that I'm worried about there, who I thought were going to run away with at the division only to get pummeled. Now, all of a sudden, coming back with a legitimate chance to get back in it and knock off the Miami Dolphins here. I also have the New Orleans Saints, which you hear me on these shows, Flash. I'm talking all the time about, hey, look, I don't think, and I told you right now, I don't think they're going to be able to win that game on Thursday night. But they got two winnable games behind that. And I feel if they go 2-1 with their only loss coming to the Rams, that they'll be able to win that division. So my thought process to you, Flash, is hold on at least for one more week to see if we can see some of these things settle out, because my thought process behind it is almost similar to yours. I have just about everybody you have here. So it's even like, oh, that's an interesting one to think about. Like, no, like I'm actually invested exactly the way that path we're going down. I would wait one more week on that 9-1 hedge chance, because I think you'll probably end up getting some good luck. On all of those teams, I don't have an issue one way or another, Flash. I like where you're sitting here. That is a legitimate chance to come in and not asking for a long shot, because in my pools, I have those same teams with also the Buffalo Bills. So the odds are a little bit longer because I have more teams involved, but that's going to be the hardest one probably to get, and the Bills look like they are legitimate now in the AFC East. But I wouldn't worry about the Eagles, the team that we're all probably worried about, right? It's the New Orleans Saints, because I don't think they're that good a football team. Yes, they've won two straight games here, but against really, really bad opponents. The question is going to be, you sort of need, it's not even luck. You just would like Trevor Lawrence to play against the Buccaneers this weekend, right? That would help the Saints out. Also, the Indianapolis Colts bring that same pain and everything down to Atlanta. They can win that football game. So I wouldn't give up just yet. I think you're in a great spot, but maybe next week we'll be able to focus a little bit more once we see what happens to the New Orleans Saints on Thursday night. And then obviously following through there with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and do they have to play Trevor Lawrence? If he plays, that's going to be a completely different situation for them. Let's head to the phone lines. Keep it rolling right here on a Tuesday afternoon on the Sports Grid Network. The Moose, he's loose, and he's up on deck right now. What's up there, Moose?
I tell you what, those cardiac kids are just going to drive me nuts.
Unbelievable.
Cardiac kids version 2. I tell you, you know, I was looking at that game and that one pick six that Flacco threw. I mean, that was I thought that was a bounce off of our receiver. So I'll give him that. But you look at the 14 points that the Bears accumulated, and those are on our two turnovers. So it's kind of a deceiving game. But, man, we are just beat up that all get out. But, you know, I enjoy those games, and my money, and I think my best bet is Pittsburgh is in such an upheaval. So I took it early. I took Cincinnati laying 1.5, and we'll see how that turns out. So, and I do like Tampa Bay. Yeah, Baker's on fire. Good for him. And getting a little Christmas shopping done, getting some Christmas food. Mm. And I wish all of you guys just a wonderful Christmas if I don't talk to you soon. So, but speaking of food, we got a bourbon glazed ham, spiral cut.
Oh, it's nice.
So I'll make my own glaze, and we're gonna go to town on that. And it's all good. So you guys are great. Talk to you later. Have a great day. Thanks for my call.
There you go. Moose checking in with us. By the way, spiral ham, fantastic on Christmas. You guys don't know what you're missing out if you don't have a spiral ham on Christmas. I mean, that's the way to get down. It's the only way to get down at that point. Granted, there is a lot of other food there, but as soon as I hear the words ham, yeah, I'm all in on that equation here. Like, I'm ready to chow down. Christmas, by the way, the boys, we're working for you this weekend. Don't you sweat it out here. The boys are going to be working. Saturday, no studio show, but College Football Today will be there, and I'm pretty sure they're going to probably go over those two games on Saturday. Sunday, which is Christmas Eve, everybody, you guys stay home. You spend your time with your family. You enjoy it. But you make sure you get to a TV. You make sure you find the Sports Grid Network, because Pro Football Today is going to be live on Sunday, setting the table in studio to make sure that you guys can rock and roll on that day. You know what we're going to do even more? You want to open presents at home. You want to spend even more time with your family. You want to wake up, relax in your pajamas and your slippers. You turn that TV again on Monday. Why? Because the boys are going to be live in studio again on Christmas Day for Pro Football Today. Joe, Kevin, Donnie, we grind on the holidays because we know it's what you guys want and what you guys need, and we enjoy doing it. So when your boy's waking up at 5 a.m. on Christmas and 5 a.m. on Christmas Eve, oh, Donnie, you got a kid. Of course you're going to be up that early. No, I'm up that early to take a shower, get dressed up, and then drive 1.5 hours into the studio, do a 3-hour show, and drive 1.5 hours back home to the fam. Because you know why? Football is what we do, people. And that's what we're going to deliver on this holiday weekend. Now, getting back to your flash, talking about his parlay that he has listed in, I have a 59-1 put in from this past summer. 59-1. I paid $25 to win $1,500. This is a division-winning parlay. The NFC South, the Saints. The AFC North, the Baltimore Ravens. And by the way, the Baltimore Ravens were the highest price team that I put out there. They're fantastic now. They're going to win that division. But just think about that right now. It's like, oh, man, the Ravens are probably my... No. Those plus 223 on the Baltimore Ravens. I have the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC. The Jacksonville Jaguars to win the AFC South and the Philadelphia Eagles to win the NFC East. The team we are all worried about, and quite frankly, it's kind of crazy you're saying you're worried about like the New Orleans Saints worse than the Bills. The Bills have a pathway to get in there, legitimate chance. The New Orleans Saints, though, I actually thought they would win double-digit games and win this division by possible two games or more before the season started. They have really been a disappointment to me. Now, there's a cash out, basically, to get my money back, but why would you do that? Why would you want $25 back with the chance to win $1,500? But I do need some help, and that includes the Saints. Continue to play good defense, just like you did against the New York Giants, and give yourself a chance. Now, I don't think they beat the Rams, but I'm rooting on them to end the season. But we need the Miami Dolphins to take a loss, and we need the Buffalo Bills to keep on crunching. My. How about that? We might get a nice little Christmas payday here if that happens. Don't you go anywhere. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Taking a look at some bets that I had from this past summer. And these ones, I believe, most of them are at the FanDuel Sportsbook. A couple wasted ones are one $8 bet, one $4 bet. Saquon Barkley to win Offensive Player of the Year. Kayvon Thibodeau to win Defensive Player of the Year, 210-1. And then Jalen Hurts to win MVP and Hassan Reddick to win Defensive Player of the Year. That was 120-1. Both those bets paid $1,000. So technically, all right. Lost $12 on those bets. Already cashed a few in, which included Ezekiel Elliott's rushing prop on the season over. That was easy. He got that a couple weeks ago. I'm just on the cusp right now, however, of taking a look at the cashing of a ticket of Odell Beckham Jr. That one looks like it's going to come in the door any day now. Just needs a couple yards to complete that for the season. And already cashed in Kayvon Thibodeau to get 10 sacks on the season, which was really good. So some of those did come in. Talked about those parlays I had just to make the playoffs. Here's an interesting one that I placed. And again, this was on August the 18th. It was a seven-leg parlay. And it was for one, two, three, obviously, what am I counting? It's seven-leg parlay. There's seven different players involved. Each of them having to catch six or more touchdowns this season. Three of these guys have already cashed. Deebo Samuel, Keenan Allen, and Stephon Diggs. So three out of the seven are in the door. The guys that haven't cashed yet, Travis Kelce, which I need him to get six. He's currently listed with five right now. So he's right on the cusp. He's probably going to get that done. Let me check these other ones here, too, because it looks like, let's just see, Justin Jefferson, I also have listed. Now, we know he missed a large chunk of time this year with that hamstring injury, but he's back. He's got three games to play. He's got three total touchdowns on the season. Last time he scored a touchdown was on October the 1st against Carolina. He scored two times. So he needs three touchdowns, Justin Jefferson, over the final 3 weeks. Now, granted, barring injury, he should have gotten that easily already. But he's been back for two games and hasn't scored. 10 catches, 84 yards, 3 catches, 27 yards in his previous two ball games. So still an outside shot. I don't mind that one. It doesn't look all that bad. Another one I have here that hasn't cashed in yet, that is Devontae Adams. So let's take a look at Devontae Adams here on the season to see if he has a legitimate chance at this. He's got five touchdown catches. So Devontae Adams has three games to catch one. So let's just say Kelce will probably be in the door barring injury, and Davante Adams. Justin Jefferson still needs three over three games. That's doable here. Do you know who that leaves out for us? Terry McLaurin, who I thought was going to be a major force on this offense. Some games he's damn near invisible, but also scored a couple times to start the season and finally got in the end zone this weekend against the Los Angeles Rams. 12 targets, 6 receptions, and 141 yards. So he's got 3 total touchdowns now in the air. He needs 3 more over the final 3 games to see if we can make up that difference and see what we can do. By the way, that bet is $51 to win $1,000. So basically, it's $51 that pays back $1,051. I think we can make that work. It looked like it was a little bit dead in the water at this time, but certainly doesn't appear to be at this point. Travis Kelce should be in the door. Davante Adams should be in the door. We just need Justin Jefferson and Terry McLaurin each to get 3 touchdowns, which, again, is tough sometimes to do. You need Justin Jefferson in one of these games to get multiple touchdowns. Hopefully, with the fact that you're taking a look at Terry McLaurin, who only got 3 targets and didn't have any catches against Miami in an absolute blowout, maybe word got back to coach, hey, I'm a good wideout. Make sure you use me. So 6 receptions for 141 yards and a touchdown for an average of 23.5 in his last ball game. Now let's take a look to see what we have here for the final couple games for the NFC East Washington Commanders. That is a game against the San Francisco 49ers. So you're hoping maybe that is a blowout situation. The Dallas Cowboys, which you should be able to get after in their secondary. And then the New York Jets as that final game. I don't know. I feel like we're having an uphill climb at this point, but it would be nice to cash in that ticket. That's one of those that you didn't lose anybody to injury and sort of blew up the parlay. That's still going to be active here moving forward. So that's something I'm cheering on, just to give the people something to maybe nibble on. And maybe you guys have some parlays that you're cheering on out here at this time that you need some help getting across the line. Got a little bit more time left in the show, so you guys can get involved and certainly let us know what you're, let me know what you think, or let me know what you have. Because the NFL this weekend, as we said, absolutely ballistic, and I love it. There are so many teams right now that are still involved in the process. So many teams that can move up the ladder. Teams that you think can win the Super Bowl. Or yeah, just say forget the Super Bowl. How about just win their conference? Now, to me, again, as an Eagles fan, I'm hoping the Eagles win the conference. I don't think that's going to be the case. The Eagles are leaking oil right now, not playing great football. You play 3 bad teams, maybe you get it back together. But the San Francisco 49ers, it's pretty evident. They are the class of the NFC, and they probably should run through it. But the Eagles, here's going to be the fun thing. The final 4 in the NFC would look tremendous if chalk held. And I'm saying the Eagles win out and get that 2 seed. So number 1 seed would be the 49ers. Number 2 seed, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 3 seed, the Detroit Lions. And take out the 4 seed Buccaneers. Because I'm going chalk, meaning I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to be a better team. And probably in that first round matchup, play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and knock them out of the playoffs if they make it in. Boy, I would love it if it's the New Orleans Saints, because that means I would be cashing some tickets. But let's just say it's the 49ers and the Cowboys, and then it's the Philadelphia Eagles and the Detroit Lions. That's a nice Final Four in the NFC if it gets there. Fun all the way across the board. Challenging teams. Can Dallas make a comeback and resurrect their season after getting hammered by the Buffalo Bills this past Sunday? That's something to keep an eye out for, of course. The AFC, way more up in the air. And here's the reason why. I just told you I thought the 49ers were the best team. Could Dallas challenge them? Maybe. Detroit Lions? Maybe. Eagles? Maybe. But more on a whim at this point. If either one of those teams winds up in the playoffs and you're at home in the NFC Championship game, like, what are we honestly looking at? The Niners favored by like 6 points over those teams in the NFC Championship game? Because you're going to give them respect. If it's the Cowboys that get there, the Philadelphia Eagles, that means they won some pretty good football games in the playoffs. Let's just say it's just under a touchdown. My goodness, the AFC, you say the Baltimore Ravens are really good. They're not going to win out here. They're actually going to get beat by the 49ers this weekend, I do believe. And then we'll see it's going to be on for that top seed. Here's just what I don't want to see. This isn't from a betting perspective. It's just from a fan perspective. Wouldn't it be nice to see the Kansas City Chiefs have to go on the road and beat somebody in the playoffs? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But I still have this sneaky suspicion that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be able to run the table over the final three games. The Miami Dolphins have a tough schedule, and so do the Baltimore Ravens. And keep in mind, you say, hey, Miami Dolphins got a 10-4 record. They got another game up on the Chiefs. Of course. If the Dolphins run the table, yes, they're probably going to be the number one overall seed here. But let's be honest with ourselves. Who holds the tiebreaker? The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Miami Dolphins head-to-head overseas. That is massive. That is absolutely massive. Because if they finish with a tied record, it goes directly to head-to-head competition, and they'll have that. So let's just say, for term's sake here, the Kansas City Chiefs don't have the number one overall seed, and we stay exactly the way we are now, but with a couple different changes. Let's say the Ravens are the one seed. Miami Dolphins the two seed. Kansas City Chiefs the three seed, and the Chiefs the four seed. We'll keep that the same. Let me take out, let's just say, the Indianapolis Colts out of the playoff picture and put in the Buffalo Bills. You tell me the Buffalo Bills can't beat the Browns, Jaguars, Chiefs, Dolphins, or Ravens on any given Sunday. I'm not even in love with the Bills did Sunday, but I'm not in love with that football team. They got a lot of holes in that secondary. They played really well on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys team that rode high at home and got smacked because they finally went on the road and took on a decent competition team. That's when you have to take a step back to yourself and say, okay, what are the Buffalo Bills really? Because if they're getting James Cook, who looks like the reincarnate of straight up, I don't know, little Walter Payton mix, little Barry Sanders back there, little Marshall Faulk, he's been absolutely incredible. Ultra elusive, fast, speed, cuts, catching out of the backfield. This is what you dreamed of if you were Josh Allen for so long. They finally have that here. If we're looking at teams leaking oil, it's the Jaguars right now at 8-6. We'll see if they can even hold on to the division, which I do think they will, to be honest. I think they do. The Cincinnati Bengals, I don't trust that much. And T. Higgins might not even, Jamar Chase might not even play this weekend. And who knows when he's coming back? And you're still playing with Jake Browning. Boy, they had a big win, didn't they? You want to talk about other teams in the AFC rooting against them, absolutely loving the fact that the Minnesota Vikings had a double-digit lead in that game and couldn't hold on. Oh, they had to be heartbroken at that point. But who's to say they can't make a run? The one thing, put it this way. A couple weeks ago, you're saying to yourself, okay, who can actually make a run? Let's see if the Steelers put it together. Easy schedule. They can end up with 10 wins. Steelers stink, man. That team stinks. The Denver Broncos got their face pushed in this weekend, like mushed. You ever walk up to somebody, one of your boys, just take your fist, not a fist, like an open hand, and push somebody in the face? Yeah, that's what happened to the Denver Broncos this past weekend. They got mushed right in the face. Step up in competition, go play Detroit. Tough schedule for them because it's a third state road game. They got smashed. Now they sit at 7-7. The Raiders, I'm not sweating. The Chargers are done. So are the Pittsburgh Steelers. So if we're talking about legitimate playoff contenders in the AFC, 9 teams here. Bills, Texans, Colts, Bengals, Browns, Jags, Chiefs, Dolphins, and Ravens. And on any given Sunday, it just feels like any one of these teams can give anybody problems. We'll see this weekend. It's not necessarily an eliminator game, technically. But if you are the Houston Texans, you are at home, and you can knock off the 9-5 Cleveland Browns to send them to 9-6, and you go to 9-6, and then you have a tiebreaker over the Browns and can move into that fifth spot. It's incredible, man. And what are they even doing? First of all, look at the teams in the playoff race. And I say to myself, what are they even doing there? The Cleveland Browns with Joe Flacco? Fourth string on the season? What? Brought up the scrap heap? Cincinnati Bengals? Lose Joe Burrow? No big deal. 8-6 still in the mix here? Crazy town. The Indianapolis Colts, and by the way, I do think that game goes over the total this weekend in Atlanta. But based on what we've seen from concussion history and injury history, Zach Moss, he got that hip drop tackle dropped on him along with, at the same time, a horse collar. I don't know if he's going to play this weekend, but that hurts that team. Maybe Jonathan Taylor does come back, should be rested and ready. That could help. You saw two backup quarterbacks, by the way, come in the game for the Colts and really did well. But you can't rely on that. Michael Pittman got his body exploded by DeMonte Casey, who got thrown out of the NFL this season. He's got a concussion. He's probably not playing this weekend. So you're going on the road in a monster game down a couple big bullets. That's going to be tough. So they currently hold the 7th seed. They might drop right out of that this weekend because that would be an NFC loss, which means the Texans will move up if they win, the Buffalo Bills as well. And then the Colts will be on the outside looking in at that point. But the teams that are shakiest to me aren't actually the Houston Texans. They're getting back C.J. Stroud this weekend. The guys on thin ice right now, it's the Colts and it's the Bengals for me in the AFC playoff picture. We'll see where that winds up, but my goodness, what a great weekend ahead. A holiday weekend. It's nice to talk about it earlier in the week to set the table for everything. One more segment to go right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day, and get ready for tomorrow, some more NFL talk. It's just popping, man. There's so many scenarios out here. So much fun that we can have this weekend. And maybe looking at some bets to place. Tomorrow, we'll spend some time breaking down the weekend's numbers, which means totals and also sides, and maybe look at some advantages where we're going in player props. But today, we wanted to set the picture here from what we think of the NFL. It's going to be so wild to finish, and so many teams with so many chances to either A, get into the playoffs, and B, secure their seeds. A lot will play out this weekend. A lot more questions the final weekend and that last weekend of the season, week 18. Get ready for a ton of fun in that respect. Now, also, Aaron Rodgers update today. We all wanted another one, right? He appears on another program in the afternoon and says, yeah, looks like my season is going to be done. Well, thank goodness for the Jets here. So you can just lose the rest of the way out. I wouldn't even play Zach Wilson anymore. Just play Simeon. Make sure you pick up 3 losses and pick up the highest draft pick that you can possibly get. The Jets season was lost 3 plays into the year when Aaron Rodgers went down with that Achilles. And by the way, it would have been fun, though, to be honest, to watch this season play out with the Jets if they had Aaron Rodgers. You have to remember, this wasn't going to be a magic carpet ride with the Jets where it's like they're going to win 14 games and that's the way it's going to go away. 14-3 final, right, for the record. They were like 9.5 at most sportsbooks, 9 at most sportsbooks. So they were roughly just above 500. Now, they're clearly under that now, and they're a bad football team at 5-9. But that defense hasn't lived up to capabilities, and maybe they're just beat down from saying, we never really had a chance from Jump Street because Aaron Rodgers went down and we continued to get really bad quarterback play throughout the rest of the way. So certainly something to see next year. And Aaron Rodgers also said today that he definitely wants to play 2 more years with the Jets. So you can count in 2024 and you can count in 2025. But Aaron Rodgers not healthy, not going to play. So he can finally put that ridiculous thing to bed as he was going to come in and save the day for the New York Jets. Not happening, people. But I'll tell you what is happening next. Coast to Coast coming to you live next. Right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside here on a solo mission. The good part about this is we will continue this conversation tomorrow. See you then.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.